Well, I'd like to say welcome to Wheat Among the Tares, our live program here every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio here in Lexington, South Carolina. Thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate you doing so, and a good morning to you, Pastor Williamson.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you as well, and I say good morning to all you out there. Thank you for being on.
It's a blessing to have folks aboard this morning. And I want to say just from the outset, I have looked forward to this particular broadcast this morning because the nature of a follow-up, and we are following up with a dear brother in the Lord this morning, Pastor Meredith Sears. He is the pastor of Coastal Light Baptist Church down in Charleston, South Carolina. And Pastor Sears, I want to welcome you, my brother, to Wheat Among the Tares this morning.
Good morning. How are both of you doing?
Doing good, my brother.
We are doing well, and
glad
we trust. Good, yes, good to have you on, and we trust that you are doing well in the Charleston area of South Carolina this morning. Brother Sears, we are wanting at the outset of this podcast this morning and this broadcast, since many are listening, we first interviewed you regarding an occurrence in your life back in March of this year, and we're coming up just shy of 6 months since we have spoken with you. Yeah. And brother, I want there's probably folks that are listening right now that may not be familiar with what happened, or maybe just had the availability or the time necessarily to listen to the first podcast back in March of this year. So, brother, if you would just briefly recount for us the occurrence of what happened to you back in November of last year.
Absolutely. It was the 10th of November. It was a Wednesday morning, and I was up in North Carolina. I was helping a gentleman. We were actually working on a church and helping them put a metal roof on. And on that particular morning, it was about 11:15 in the morning. I was on a particular section of roof that was only about 8 to 10 feet off of the ground. And I had stood on that exact same spot the day before. We were working on an upper section of the church building and putting on some roofing material on Tuesday, and had no problem, obviously. And I had been many times on many roofs. I feel very comfortable on a rooftop. And on this particular Wednesday morning, circumstances were just right, and my feet slipped out from under me, which typically wouldn't have been a big deal. You know, an 8-foot drop isn't the best thing in the world, but if you hit right, it's not going to be too devastating. But I must not have hit right, and I landed flat on my back. The tool belt that I had on had a place for the tape measure, which was right in the very center of my back. And to the best of my understanding, my spine, just when I landed on my back, my spine went up and over that tape measure and broke two vertebrae around the L11 and L12 areas. I'm sorry, T11 and T12. And as soon as there was about 10 seconds that I can't account for, to the best of my knowledge. And when a couple of the guys were coming running up to me, they were yelling, call 911. And when I heard them saying that, I said, no, guys, I'm fine. You know, I had all my thought capability, and I said, I'm fine. And about that time, I reached down and I realized that I couldn't feel my legs and I couldn't move anything in my legs. And so I said, well, why don't you go ahead and call 911? And at that moment, I reached down and my phone was in my pocket. And so I dialed my wife and she answered. And I said, honey, all right, first of all, I don't want you to be panicking. I don't want you to worry. I'm all right. But I fell and I can't feel my legs, can't move my legs, but I'm all right. Everything else is okay. And of course, that set in. You know, the ambulance took me to Duke Medical University in Durham, North Carolina. And That is one of the premier hospitals on the East Coast, a great place to be taken if you have a spinal cord injury.
Amen, yes.
And they rushed me into, I was level one trauma, and within an hour of me getting to the hospital, they had me in the operating room for major surgery to my back, and they put two titanium rods from T10 down to L1 and secured my spine. And ever since then, I've been going through physical therapy, learning how to cope as a paraplegic. I still, to this day, I have no feeling whatsoever below my waistline. And through the last four or five weeks, we have found that it seems like I have a very, very small amount of ability to move my legs, just barely. And we're trying to figure out whether I'm actually firing the muscles or if I'm creating a spasm. Because my legs, I'm not complete. I'm not at a complete sever. But I had tremendous trauma to my spinal cord, is what they said. And so my legs spasm all the time. You know, they move involuntarily.
Right.
All day long. And so now we're trying to figure out if I actually am making my legs move in a very slight bit, or am I triggering a spasm? So that's kind of where we are right now.
Well, brother, certainly the recounting of that story, if folks were not familiar with it, they are very familiar with it now. And, brother, I want to say, first of all, at the outset, the question often arises from the standpoint of things that happen. Pastor Williamson, you know, we've talked about this as well. But, Brother Sears, the why of things. And I know many people may be listening this morning, and we have a lot of listeners that are tuned in this morning. But the question, why did this happen? And and what was the purpose of it being allowed to happen? And brother, before I get you to answer that question, I was telling Pastor Williamson here, I'm reading my personal readings in the book of Job. And I read something a couple of days ago, and I just want to share it with the folks. And I'm sure that what I'll read here will spur the conversation. And but in Job 23, it says this, first several verses, "Then Job answered and said, 'Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me.'" And Job had those questions and wanted an audience with God as right. to why things were occurring. And Pastor Meredith Sears, I want to ask you, first of all, just I know those questions you have pondered in your mind since that day. And I first of all want to ask you, just give us your initial thoughts following this situation and, you know, how and what has God done for you in helping you to answer that question?
What God has done from the very, very beginning, from day one, is shown his grace in a way that neither my wife or I really ever could have imagined before this. When we read in Scripture, his grace is sufficient, we read that, and I want at the outset, I guess, of the answer here, I want you to understand, I want everyone that's listening to understand that, you know, my injury and what I'm going through we can't measure it compared to somebody else, you know, oh, I'm going through much more than you went through. Because that's an unfair statement all the way around. And I don't think you're sure. making, I know you're not making that statement. You know, my injury sets me on a course different than, you know, the majority of people. But your injury or your circumstance sets you on a course completely different than what I would ever have to go through. I've said many times to many people when I hear about things that people are going through. I've got a dear friend who's going through a bout of cancer, and some of the things that he is dealing with are unimaginable. My wife has a childhood friend who is going through some things that I guess that's probably the first time I ever made the statement after my wife was talking with me about what her childhood friend is going through. I made the statement, I praise the Lord that all I am is paralyzed. I'm very thankful that that's all I am. I don't have all of these other medical issues and things that people are going through that seem insurmountable in their lives. Hmm. And so when we think about, you know, injuries or medical situations or life situations, to be able to say one person is worse than another, you know, I would say that, you know, Job, that might have been going through his mind, you know, nobody has it as bad as me, but you know, maybe when we get to heaven, maybe God will answer the question, out of all of humanity, who has it the worst?
Sure.
You know, and there's no answer to that. So to get to the why, I guess the why would be, at least my prayer is that, to bring him glory in everything that I can do.
Amen.
I had, when I was in the rehab hospital for about 3 weeks, there was a nurse that she would come in most every day. Sometimes she was my nurse that particular day, and other times she would just come in because she wanted to talk with me. And she made a statement to me, she asked a question. She said, "Why did this happen to you? Why would God allow this?" Because I began to talk to her about the Lord, and she had great reservations about whether she trusted and whether she believed in God and all. Because she said, "Well, why would God allow this to happen to you? You're a pastor. Why would God allow this to happen? Why would a good God allow this to happen to people?" And I told her, I said, "You're asking the wrong question, because the right question is, why would God allow any good to happen to a wicked society? You know, why would God allow anything good to happen to us?" And I know that you know, that I'm not the first one to ever make that kind of a statement, but that truly is the statement, you know, in my life. You know, I sit back and I take stock of my life, and why would God allow any good whatsoever to come out of this situation? But yet he does. He allows good to come out of it. I believe I told you 6 months ago, when I was only 3 months into my injury, that I'd never dealt with depression. I've never had a single day where I was depressed. I've never had a single time where I was saying, oh me, why? And in the last 6 months, I've never had that either.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I've met some people who are paraplegic. At my physical therapy, and there's one young man in particular that I'm trying to get him just to go out into public, because he says, I'm so ashamed, I'm so depressed because I'm in a wheelchair. And I've said, listen, people, they don't care that you're in a wheelchair. It doesn't matter to them.
That's right.
But I'm trying to get him to understand that this isn't the end of your life.
Sure.
And as far as depression, I'm not trying to take away from anyone who is depressed. But what I am trying to say is there's hope. There
Amen.
Is hope in
Amen.
God. There is hope in what he can do. And whether he allows me to walk again isn't my hope. My hope isn't, oh, I hope I get to walk again. My hope is, I hope I glorify God through what I'm going through.
Yes, sir.
That is
the Lord, brother.
Well said, my brother. Pastor, I know you have some thoughts yourself concerning this. Go ahead.
Yeah, my dear brother, I'd like to ask you a question. I know that you can expound on this to the people. I know as a preacher, when we go through things, that God uses it in our life and kind of alters our perspective of ministry, alters our preaching, the spirit in which we preach. How has this event in your life changed you as far as your, you know, your message, the spirit behind your message, or how the Lord's altered you as a preacher and changed you or given you compassion, or how has the Lord used that in your preaching?
Well, I would say that compassion is probably the key word. You know, before, as a pastor, someone would have some kind of a sickness or some kind of a problem in their life, and you try to empathize with them and have that compassion. But you know, now, even to the point where when someone says, "Man, pastor, I'm sorry, I can't be in church, or I can't fulfill this or whatever because of some kind of a physical problem that I'm going through," you know, before I would say, "Oh, I understand. But now I'm like, I truly
yes,
understand.
Sir.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I believe when we first had this interview 6 months ago, I believe I had only had an opportunity to preach one time, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
maybe
correct.
Maybe
that's
two.
Right. Once, yeah.
And I'm very thankful that for the last 6 weeks, I believe, I've preached every Wednesday night. And for the last 4 to 5 weeks, this last Sunday is the only Sunday that I have not preached Sunday morning and
wow.
Sunday night. And again, the preaching aspect of it is not the difficult part. And I don't know if I really mentioned that much last time. The preaching aspect of it is very easy. When I'm in the midst of people, when I'm talking to people, I don't think about my discomfort. And let me pause here. I don't have any pain. I have no feeling as far as pain is concerned below my level of injury, but I have a lot of discomfort. The most uncomfortable place for me is when I'm sitting in my wheelchair, but that's, of course, where I need to live my life, is sitting in my wheelchair.
Yeah.
And so it's very distracting to me when I'm just all alone, whether I'm reading my Bible, whether I'm studying and preparing for a message, when I'm all alone sitting in my wheelchair, that's when I have a great deal of discomfort. And so the preaching itself is easy. The study is what becomes more difficult. Mm-hmm. And so as far as my preaching style, I don't move around as much as I used to, because I was never one to just stand behind the pulpit and preach to the people. I would animate, you know, and move around like most independent Baptist preachers do.
Yes, that's right.
And
amen.
now what I do is I do wheelies in my wheelchair, and I come up to the edge of the platform, and I've been told too many times that when I get to the edge of the platform, my front wheels are within a couple of inches. You know, even my wife has said, "Honey, I don't hear anything that you're saying. All I'm thinking is he going to fall off that platform? So I'm trying to, you know, caution myself. Don't get so close, because people aren't listening to me. They're just thinking, you know. So, but anyhow, my style of preaching, I don't know that I could say it is, the style itself has changed, but I certainly do have more understanding of what people are going through, I believe.
Well, the heart of what you have experienced that you can certainly convey to others. And Paul said it himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that we have gone through things, and God comforted us, that when others go through it, that we can be a comfort to them, for sure.
Absolutely.
Also, my brother, I want you to describe, because I know it's been a huge blessing hearing about the testimony of your church, about how they have rallied behind you, supported you, and maybe just speak of that for a moment, about your church, to just what a blessing they are.
It is truly a blessing. I probably said the last time we spoke together that one of my first concerns was, will my church, you know, allow me to be their pastor?
Sure.
I don't know any paraplegic pastors. Now, since this time, I've been reacquainted in with some who are evangelists or assistant pastors, but I don't personally know any pastors who are a paraplegic. But my church family has been extremely supportive. We have ramps now where we never had ramps before. The men at the time when we spoke last, every time I would be on the platform, I'd have four men that they would lift me up and wheel around on the platform. Then they would lift me down. And our church men now, we have a ramp up to the platform so that I can get up and down on my own. My wife and I, my kids are all out of the house now, and my wife and I, the parsonage is actually part of the church building. It's not a separate house, and it's on the second floor. And one of the wonderful things, kind of unbelievable things that God did 16 years ago when he brought me to this church, the building used to be a nursing home many years ago. And the parsonage, which is on the second floor, used to be assisted living, and we've converted it over to our parsonage. And there's actually an elevator that goes from the ground floor to the second floor.
I remember
for when
that.
It was
Amen.
For when it was a nursing home. And so that elevator now I use consistently every day. But just for safety reasons, my church men built a ramp all the way down to the ground, and it's fully ADA compliant. It is unbelievably over-engineered. It is safe beyond belief.
Oh, bless but the Lord.
To be,
Amen.
To be ADA compliant, for every inch that it goes up, you have to have 1 foot out of ramp.
Yeah.
And so there are 136 inches from the ground to the second floor. So there are 136 inches of ramp all the way down. And believe me, it is a blast going down. But it is not so much of a blast coming back up.
Oh, well,
the church has been wonderful.
Amen. I'm glad you can rejoice in the ups and downs of getting out of home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. Brother, and by the way, if folks are just joining us here, I should have made this announcement before now, but we're talking to Pastor Meredith Sears, who's pastor of Coastal Light Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and he's describing a life-altering event and results of that from 9 months ago. Brother, I do want to – there's another question that I want to bring to your attention, and and I know we have many listeners, and – again, those listeners may themselves be going through something or know of somebody, just as you described earlier, how you knew people that are going through things much worse than what you have gone through.
Right.
And but the thought that came to my mind was that time can be an enemy. It can either render a terrible, days, or it can render, and I have here in my mind, great benefits of spiritual growth and understanding. It depends on really how that person, specifically the born-again child of God, handles that. And I made a note here, it could either make you bitter or better.
Right.
And really that's, to me, the crux of everything that we've talked about here this morning is the fact of how this particular event has affected you, Pastor. It has obviously made you better.
Well, I pray that it has. Honestly, I don't want to stand here and say what stand. Well, that's the wrong word to use. I don't do much standing anymore. But I don't want to sit here and say, oh, yes, it's made me better. I pray that it has. I pray that people might see that it has. I have a very dear friend who actually was out here. Our church just on Sunday celebrated its 40th anniversary. Our church was started in 1982 Amen. By a graduate of Hiles Anderson, and I'm only the third pastor in all of those 40 years. And so I had a very good friend of mine who used to be an evangelist. He pastors out now in California. And I had him out to preach our anniversary service. And he had not seen me, obviously, since my accident. and just reacquainting since the accident, you know, sitting down and getting to talk with me and see me and how I interact. And he made actually a very good statement. He said, it's not what happens to you, but what happens after it happens to you.
Yes,
because he said, what yes. happened to you isn't the tragedy. He said, if you would have, after the accident, if you would have withdrawn and been depressed and woe is me, he said, that would have been a tragedy.
Amen.
Falling off the roof and breaking my back wasn't a tragedy. And so you say, you know, make me better. I want to make sure that what happens after what happened is going to be, again, bring glory to God. Because everyone has something that happens to them, whether it's
that's right,
whether it's paraplegia, whether it's cancer, whether it's divorce, whether it's financial ruin. Everyone has something that happens to them. But what are you going to do after that happens? What happens after it happens? And it was a good
Amen.
Statement that he made, and I've thought about that, and I like to think that's with everyone. How you handle it, as you said already, Brother Lindsay, it makes you bitter or it makes you better.
Pastor Williamson, it's certainly a comment regarding the, and I know you've gone through some things yourself. I remember the COVID situation that you laid in a hospital for quite a while. And I remember the struggle. You described, Pastor, your struggles with that.
Sure.
Really quickly, just tell us.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment when you're going through things, and I feel like what I'm fixing to describe is nothing compared to what Pastor Sears has gone through, really. But at the same time, it was big in my life at
yes.
the moment.
Absolutely.
You know, when a doctor steps in and says, you know, you're a very, very sick man, and you realize when they come in and talk to you that you're in such a way that they're letting you know you're not, we don't know how you're going to respond if you're going to survive through this. And so, right. you know, I had always said, you know, the church is God's church. My wife is God's. My children is God's. My ministry belongs to the Lord. We say things that at the moment we believe and we know it to be true.
Right.
But then
we right.
put in circumstances to see, is that what we really believe?
The proving of it.
And God put me there. I mean, there's no doubt God put me there. And because I was laying in bed thinking, okay, Lord, is this really how you're going to take my life through COVID? What's going to happen to my wife, my children? All those thoughts when you think you may die overwhelm you. And I went from that burden of what's going to happen to the church. I mean, who's going to pastor it? You know, what all these things to the fact of me rejoicing, Lord, saying, Lord, it's your church. And I give it to you. And my wife is yours. I know you're going to take care of my children. And I went from that moment of fear to a moment of worship. I remember my hands being in the air, tears flowing down. I mean, a joy that I can't even express. And God, I trust you in this.
Amen.
You know, I trust you.
Amen.
And our faith gets tried. Our faith gets tested. And I do believe that if you're not walking with the Lord, trusting the Lord, striving to be what you're supposed to be all the time, when you get there, you probably won't respond right. You know,
yes, sir.
The response has to do with a walk with the Lord prior to that. If my life had been falling apart, my faith falling apart, me not walking with the Lord, I would not have been in that place to be able to respond that way. And so, you know, Brother Meredith, I want people to understand that when people respond in the way Brother Meredith has, it's been because a man walked with God prior to when the event happened.
Amen. Brother Sears, a truer statement. I cannot honestly make. What are your thoughts concerning that?
Wow. I'm humbled that you would say that, to be honest, Pastor Williamson.
Yes, sir.
I you know, I tell my church, I live with myself most every day. You know, I know myself. And I want to, regardless of where I think I might have been, might have been doesn't do anything for me today or tomorrow. And what you said is absolutely true. If someone isn't walking with the Lord when a tragedy happens,
sure,
then very, very possible they're going to turn the wrong way and they're going to be upset and angry with God. But even if someone isn't walking with the Lord, it can turn them to Christ.
It can turn them to
realization of my life has not been what it is. And I would pray that for every person who suffers a tragedy that might be out of the will of God, that they would say, okay, this is a wake-up call.
Amen.
For the one who is walking with the Lord, that they wouldn't say, okay, well, all of my efforts for the Lord have been for nothing because now I'm laid up, I can't walk, or I can't breathe right, or, you know. The response is, at the time, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this tragedy? Am I going to let God be glorified? Am I going to let God's grace get me through this? Because over and over and over, my wife and I have commented about God's grace getting us through a time where we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how it's going to happen, but we just trust God's grace.
And brother, I know you have, and it's been a great testimony, not only 6 months ago when we interviewed you, but since this interview began this morning, I can't but say I rejoice in what we have talked about here this morning and how that the Lord has been glorified. Brother Sears, we always, as is our custom here on Wheat Among the Tares, we always take a moment to pray for those that we are interviewing, and the pastor always takes us to the throne of grace, and I'm thankful we have the throne of grace to come
Amen.
To.
Amen.
Certainly.
And pastor, if you would, let's pray for Amen. Brother Sears, Amen. His family, and the work there at Coastal
Amen.
Light.
Let's do. Father, I thank you for the broadcast this morning, but I thank you for the blessing of just been able to talk to our dear friend in a personal way. Thank you for Pastor Sears. Lord, the Bible says, give you thanks in all things. We thank you for what you've done in this whole situation. And thank Amen. You for the strength that he has found in you and that his wife has found in you. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that it has given to his church and for how they've responded. And Lord, I thank you for how you've used him to be an encouragement to others. I think of this dear young man that he says he's witnessing to and trying to let him know there's hope and encouraging him. I pray that you'll work in that young man's life. And Lord, I know that your desire in whatever we go through is to use it for your glory. Yes, for you to get glorified, but Amen. Lord, for us to be tools and instruments, Lord, in other people's lives. And so I pray for Pastor Sears that you'll continue to strengthen him and touch him and use him. Bless his church, Lord. Bless his witness. Lord, so many things we weren't able to talk about again, the nurses and doctors that were reached and saved and people's lives were, Lord, directly affected because of this and the testimony of how you've used it. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Pastor Meredith Sears, pastor of Coastal Light Baptist Church, Charleston, South Carolina. It's been our pleasure and blessing to have you here.
Sure
Wheat
has.
Among the Tares
Praise
this
Lord.
Morning.
Praise Lord.
Thank you for joining us, my brother. That. And we will continue to pray for you, your family there. And
Thank
I trust that our listeners will continue in prayer also. The Lord bless you, my brother.
Yes, God bless. Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Pastor Williamson, what a blessing indeed.
Yes, he encouragement to my heart, encouragement to my spirit, and what a blessing to know that when you respond in such a way as Pastor Sears did, it's not in ourselves. It's when you look to the Lord, God enables you.
Yes.
God strengthens you. God is our helper.
Amen.
And it is such a blessing to know that to see. We know what the Bible says about God being there and a very present help in the time of trouble. But man, it sure is a blessing to see those pages come alive
Amen.
When it's lived out in somebody's life.
Amen. And we have had listeners this morning from all the way from Lansing, Michigan to San Jose, California to Columbia, South Carolina to Somerville, Massachusetts. to the nation of the Czech Republic this morning. We have had many of you on board this morning, and I thank you for joining us here and trust that you will make Wheat Among the Tares a regular listening situation every week. And again, I want to remind you of our podcast that will be posted later today on Sermon Audio and other podcast platforms. Thanks for joining us today. Trust that the Lord will bless you and strengthen you, and may the Lord help you this day. God bless you.